You're listening to The Music Show with Greg Dixon, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Music Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Greg Dixon. We are live as we are every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my sponsor, Liquid Death. People have been hitting me up about how to get the Liquid Death. You could go online and find out where their retailers are, or you could buy it from them direct, wholesale, or any other opportunities on their website. I want to welcome my guest today, Josh Todd, from Black Cherry, 8th studio album, Hellbound.
9th, actually. 9th. Yes. Hello. How are you?
Good to see you, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for making the stroll. I appreciate it. How you been?
I've been good. The tour has been going great. We had a little COVID hiccup. A couple of the guys in the band got it, and they're already negative again. So that's good news, and we'll be hitting the road again on the 29th.
Right on. I love the record. I was listening to it when you first put it out. 10 songs, 36 minutes of just great, pure, good rock and roll.
Yeah,
no backing
man.
Tracks, nothing. I mean, one thing with Buck Cherry, dude, is it's always just been fucking legit. Just straight good rock music. I mean, I've been following your career since the Slam Hound days, back in the day when you were doing that stuff, and I've always kept up with you, and I just think it's rad. And you come from a big punk rock background.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my whole foundation.
And so do you ever listen to any of the old school stuff that you grew up on?
Occasionally I'll revisit some of those records. Like, you know, I was really into Minor Threat and the Toy Dolls, Subhumans, GBH, Black Flag. And, you know, I'll reference some of those records sometimes. I just, you know, I'm changing and evolving so much, you know, over the years that I just, you know, now I just want to listen to really well-written songs and great melodies and whatever that means. You know, I just like great songs. I've always bounced from all different kinds of genres of music. To stay fulfilled.
Well, speaking of, well, no, I mean, I can see it. Speaking of well-written songs, the first song, 5-4-3-2-1.
Yeah.
Killer guitar riff, super, super hooky. I mean, just rad lyrics. I mean, I get in trouble with imagination. You know, I'm like a butterfly without any wings. I mean, your lyrics have just always been rad. Like, this is the first song on the new Buck Cherry record, Hellbound. You can get it all over the place now. People, you guys know how to get music. It's a great, great record. So the first song, 5-4-3-2-1. I mean, lyrics, have they just always came easy to you? Are you a reader? Have you always just been really great with lyrics?
Yeah, I had a knack for writing. You know, I always did creative writing, and I would write poetry and stuff. And then, you know, cut to, I was surfing. You know, I wanted to be a professional surfer before I got into music, you know. So I was just a Southern California kid surfing and skateboarding, you know. And I would take, at that time when I started surfing, I was in Anaheim Hills, and I would take like 4 buses to get to 32nd Street in Newport, and they would let me take my board on the bus, and that's how I surfed. And then I got transferred to another high school in Mission Viejo, and that's when there was only one band there, and one of the guys was a surfer, the drummer, and I don't know why he asked me, but he's like, "Hey, man, we were looking for a singer. You want to come down and jam out with us?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I don't know why he asked me. I mean, I had a huge record collection and really knew a lot about music, but I wasn't singing or anything, you know. But I did have a knack for writing, so I went down there and just intuitively, I started like just conducting the rehearsal, because we played like a few cover songs, and then I was just like, "Hey, let's write an original." You know, I didn't really care about cover songs. You know, I wanted to write original music, and I just started asking the guitar player. I go, "You got a riff?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got a riff." And he played a riff, and I get down on the floor and just start writing words, and it just happened, just came to me pretty naturally, you know. And then I didn't really have a voice. I just kind of screamed, you know. I just screamed through a guitar amp, I remember, at that point. And then I started developing my voice.
How did you develop your voice? Like, did you have like vocal damage when you were just screaming like that? Were you just,
I did,
you know,
yeah,
blowing yourself out? Because I listen to you sing now, and I've been following your career, like I said, for a long time. And then I really got into, you know, your, the album you put out in 99 with For the Movies, and lit up. I mean, that's when I really fell in love with you, and I saw the band, and I saw you just evolve into a whole different person as a musician. So how did you develop to become the singer you are now? Because, like, no bullshit, like, you are, like, a phenomenal singer. Like, you sing very, very well. So, like, a two-part question is, like, how did you become that singer, and what do you do to take care of your voice now?
It's so weird, you know. I was not classically trained at all. You know, I tried to get a vocal coach at that time, you know, and she was a female, and I went in there, and I remember I had the Back in Black record at that point in time. I was really into Back in Black. I thought it was fucking amazing. That was like the first rock record I really got into, from, like, as far as the rock genre, because I only listened to, like, independent punk rock records at that point. And I heard Back in Black, and I was like, this is amazing. And so I went in there right around this time where I was in this band, and I said, yeah, I just want to learn how to sing. And she's like, okay, why don't you go and learn Every Breath You Take, you know, by The Police, and then come back. And I was like, okay. And then I left, and I didn't, although that's a really great song, and I should have just taken direction, good orderly direction, but right. I didn't, right, because I wasn't into it, you know. I came back and I brought the Back in Black record to her, and I go, I want to sing like this. I don't want to sing like that. And she goes, oh, we don't teach that here. And I go, okay. And then I never went back. So then I self-taught myself all the way through the first Buck Cherry record. So all that Slam Hound stuff, all the way through the first Buck Cherry record. I was self-taught, and I learned a lot of Bad Habits, you know. And it was after that first record tour. This is before in-ear monitors and everything. I couldn't really hear at the end of every set. It was like I'd just be clobbered by, like, you know, drum cymbals and everything, because we were opening acts and we'd have the drums really close to the vocals.
Sure, right, right.
And I was blowing out my voice a lot because I couldn't hear it. And and so I needed help, and I finally got, like, a proper rock and roll, like, vocal coach. And then I started really becoming a student of the voice, because I was doing everything wrong, and I just started working on it at that point. And you can hear from that first record through all the Buck Cherry records, I slowly just started developing my range and better vocal technique and everything over the years.
Right. I mean, I swear I'm just blown away. And then as far as watching you perform and dancing and the way you conduct yourself on stage, and then still being able to have the voice, is just really fucking amazing. It's super, super rad to watch, and it's super rad to listen to.
Thanks,
so
man.
Thank you for always giving us, thank you for one, for giving us great traditional real rock and roll music still, and, you know, with the way the music industry is now, but as well as putting on a great show. I don't know if, you know, how many people haven't seen Buck Cherry, but they are just one of the best bands to see live, and I can't wait to see you guys live. It's always just mind-blowing.
Thank it you, really, man. You know, this Hellbound record's amazing, and we've been out on tour for since June 1st, and it's been so great to be back on stage, you know. We're always grateful for what we get to do for a living, you know. We think about that every time before, yeah, we walk on stage, you know.
Right.
We get into gratitude, and really makes for a good show, and we base our reputation on our live show. But, you know, after having it, like, completely removed for a year and a half, you know, it just makes you, it makes it a whole, right, different level of gratitude, for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I think you guys are one of the hardest working bands in the business. The second song, So Hot, again, just another great one. I Don't Think You're an Angel, I Don't See No Halo, Oh Lord. And then the video, I mean, that song just rips. And then the video, do you miss the MTV days of, because you guys are pretty proactive with putting out videos. I remember when you guys dropped that video,
yeah,
for the So Hot.
Yeah.
That was the first one, right? I mean, you guys are really, because you guys also went to, you guys did a video at, in Costa Mesa with, what's his name? Jose's studio.
In Costa Mesa.
Yeah. What's it called? The Affliction.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Affliction.
Yeah. We did,
you guys did one over there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was, God, I'm drawing a blank. That was off War Paint. I forget the song.
Dude, War Paint. Let me tell you something. I don't want to go back. I'm here to talk about this record right here. But, dude, War Paint. I mean, what a great song. And that song, the radio song, I was going through some hard times in my life. And I got to tell you something, man. That song really pulled me out. That album pulled me out. I was going through some I was going through some marital stuff after 23 years with two kids. And things weren't looking good, dude. And I would run. I'm a big runner. And I swear to God, I would run. I run every day, and or I'm in the gym doing something cardio, and the War Paint album was my album. And then it pretty much saved my life. It like not that I was committing that I would ever commit suicide. I'm not that weak, but I was at a point in my life where I was like, well, if I die, I die. I would never take my life because I'm not weak like that. You know, I'm strong mentally, but that album, I mean. It, the way War Paint would just kick off and then just the flow and the arrangement of the songs and then it hit the ridges, you know, and then as my wife and I fixed everything in our family and everything.
That's one of our favorite songs.
We will sit around and watch the videos and she loves that song now too. And then when we went to Montclair and we watched you perform it and your daughter came on stage and performed it with you. Phenomenal.
It was amazing.
Phenomenal.
Amazing moment.
I'm so glad, Josh, that I was there to witness that.
You know, I'm happy that you guys worked through your stuff, you know, because marriage is not for pussies.
Yep.
It's a hard road. And, you know, to get to new levels, you got to like weather those storms. And there's a lot of them in marriage, you know. And so I'm so happy that you guys worked through it. That's great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And that album really was a huge stepping stone to keeping my head on right and just keeping me solid. And I would work out to that record. And you know, the funny thing about that record is I would listen to that record sometimes twice a day, and I never burned out on it.
That's awesome.
I never burned out on it, and I still listen to it, and I don't burn out on it. So anyway, I just wanted to give you, you know, props on that and say thank you for giving us that. That's just, it's a great record. If you don't have that record, go out and get that one as well. So the third song, Hellbound, the name of the album.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come up? You?
Yeah, it's the title track.
Hellbound.
Yeah, that's about the first show I ever did in a house party in Orange County, California. And that's when I knew everything was going to be different for me.
Well, here's the funny thing. Talking about your live performance, what I loved in the lyrics in this song, we tore the place up, but we didn't tear it down. That takes me back to how rad Buck Cherry is live.
Yeah.
Like you guys, like the stage show, I can't emphasize enough on just how incredible it is. And this lyric right here really hit home with me.
That's great. And then the next lyric is everybody got a cut and there was more to go around. We did our first show at a house party in Orange County because we were too young to play clubs. So we pooled our money together and we got somebody's older brother or sister, I forget, to buy a keg, right? We got a keg of beer and we charged $3 at the door. We made everybody come in through the backyard, right? And we set up in a living room of somebody's house. And that first show, we actually made money, you know?
Nice.
And so it was like, not only was it like just an amazing experience, it was like, yeah, we made money, man. This is it. And so we started really hustling, you know, the shows and, you know, always saving up and getting kegs and putting on shows until the cops came and broke it up, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And now today you're sober, right?
I've been sober almost 27 years.
Yeah, long time. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, you and I both come from the same neighborhood. I'm in Anaheim Hills.
Nice.
It takes me 2 hours exactly when I leave here to get back.
Wow. Wow, you commute.
I do.
Yeah,
well,
that's crazy.
I love doing what I do. You know, I do this and I have a couple other things going on that I'll elaborate later. But anyway, and then getting down to the fourth song, Gun.
Right.
Crazy guitar twang, kind of country twangy, but still holding the Buck Cherry sound with really rad rock. And then again, just a chorus. I love the dynamics in your voice on this song, the way you hit the chorus. And I just think that this song, like, it's kind of rad because, like, I heard, like, some country twang and, like, there's, like, a harmonica in the song down later down the set that is just really, really rad. Is Stevie, is he doing a lot of the...
Stevie did the harmonica.
Yeah.
He did Stevie and I wrote that song, and he did all the music on that song. And you know, it's got an Aerosmith feel,
right?
But I was actually thinking of that was the third chorus I had written for that song. It was like
really,
yeah. I had the verse. The verse was great, but I couldn't get the chorus to pop. And I was getting so frustrated with the song, and then I was like, I went back to Rock Superstar, the Cypress Hill song, and I really liked I really like how Be Real chops up his syllables and, you know, his rhythm and what he does. And so I'm like, I'm gonna approach this chorus as if I was Be Real, you know, like I'm
rad.
And then so I just started riffing that. I'm on the run and I got myself a gun.
I hear it now.
You know,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I just started, you know, just chopping it up like that, and then that chorus was born. And then it's about Bonnie and Clyde, because my daughter was doing the Bonnie and Clyde. She was acting in a Bonnie and Clyde play at school, and I went and saw it, and I was like, this is the coolest story. Like, these two are so awesome, you know, and I love those type of stories, you know, the Sid and Nancy type stories,
big time,
you know.
Big
and
time, yeah.
And the fact that they ended in death was amazing, you know. So that's what the song's about.
That's rad, because there is another lyric that I wanted to hit you up about in that song. When the blood is cold and the talk is cheap, and it's time to go, but your body's weak.
Yeah.
Like, that's rad. Like, again, another just great lyric that you came up with.
Thanks.
Yeah, this whole record is just really phenomenal. It's so rad. I was so, and you, God, you guys put this record out, what, 2 years after War Paint? Was it 2 years
ago? Yeah, about 2 years. All of our, we were about, you know, 2020 was going to be just more touring on War Paint. You know, we had a whole tour booked, and then COVID hit, and then it was just like, 1 month after another, just getting wiped out. And we were like, you know what? This is it. We're done for the year. And like, I got with Stevie and my manager, Larry Mazur. And we started talking. I'm like, you know, by the time all the dust settles and this shakes out, you know, it's going to be a long time since new music dropped, you know? So let's just start really working on a record. Let's just channel all our energy into new music and making a great record. And so that's what we did. We had all this time, and thank God we had that, because, as you know, I mean, it was just madness in the United States.
I know.
It wasn't just COVID. There was just so much negativity, and it was like...
Big time.
To be able to really just focus, I mean, Stevie and I were obsessed. All we did was think about this record, you know, day and night. You know, we wrote 21 songs, and then... Right after those 21 songs, Marty Fredrickson produced this record, and we co-wrote some songs with Marty in the past, Sorry being one of them, you know, and he's going to produce a record, and we kept sending him all of our demos, and then Roundhill, our record label, was like, why don't you guys go to Nashville and do just a week with Marty, just write for a week, and we were like, awesome. So they flew us to Nashville, and we did a week of writing with Marty, and in that week... We wrote 6 songs in 5 days, and 5 of those songs made the record. So Hellbound, So Hot, Wasting No More Time, No More Lies, all those, Breaking Down the Barricade, they all came from those sessions. And it was just like, we couldn't write a bad song. We had such good synergy going, and it was like a assembly line process, right? We had a hotel like a half a mile from the studio, and, I would get up in the morning and I would go down and sing for 2 hours on one track. And then Stevie would come in and I would leave Stevie and Marty, and they would get together a new musical composition. And then they would send it to me by like 5 or 6 PM. Then I would write lyrics and melodies all through the night till it was done. And then the next day I'd get up and go record another song. And it just happened like that for 5 days straight. It was amazing, you know? And I was like, so obsessed with this. I was like, Marty, we got to do the next record in 2 weeks. Like, and he goes, I don't want any breaks, 2 weeks, just around the clock songwriting. And he's like, no, we got to have breaks. And I was like, all right. But you know, it was just a lot of fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I could see it. I mean, you know, speaking of Stevie, he's a great player, and watching you and him on stage is just, it's a great, great recipe, great dynamic. I mean, and then, you know, even going into your rhythm section is Francis Ruiz he's the drummer.
Yep.
And then you got Kelly, what's his proper pronunciation of the last name?
Lemieux
on bass. And then I was going to ask you, with the guitar licks, your other guitar player,
Billy Rowe. Yeah.
He is playing a lot of the leads on this album, right? Or do him and Stevie switch off?
No. Stevie plays most of them.
Stevie does play most of them.
Yeah, only because Billy came into the mix just
later.
Really? No, he came in before that, but he was like really new.
Uh-huh.
And we'd already had everything established and all that. But he did do some slide and stuff on Hellbound and I believe Gun. And I think he did one of the leads, and I can't remember which song, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was saying to you, because I was reading something too, and they were like, they put Billy Down as like the lead guitar player, and I was like,
They messed up.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, hold on. Every time I see him, Stevie's ripping on leads, like, right. You know, like, so I wasn't sure about that, so I wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
But do you think this is you and Stevie? Do you think this is probably one of the strongest lineups Buck Cherry has been in a while?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, right?
It's the best Buck Cherry's been, and, you know, we always, through all the lineup changes, the band's only historically gotten better, you know, and right. And that's what happens with this band. We just keep moving forward. And, you know, did I see that, you know, that I was going to be in a situation where there was going to be a lot of changing of band members? No, you know, but I also didn't know what, you know, 23 years of touring was going to do to people.
Right.
And it wears people out, and things change, you know. Yeah. So all you can do is keep moving on.
For sure. Do you play any instruments?
I do. I play guitar, play a little bit of piano, but guitar is the main instrument.
Did you play piano on the beginning of The Way?
I did not. No, that's Stevie.
Really?
Yep.
So the ninth song, I'm going to go back up, but I want to talk about that song real quick. Such a great song, another one. That song took me back to 1999 for the movies. I don't know, for whatever reason, I just kind of felt the same vibe. I don't know if it did for you, but for me it did. And I mean, it's just the lyrics are so amazing, and just, you know, again, it kind of another just killer ballad, but not really a ballad, a hard rock song. Like every album, you put a couple of these on there and they're fucking home runs, dude. They're always great. Sorry, The Way, a radio song. I mean, where does it come from?
I mean, it comes from all the great rock records that I listened to when I was growing up. I mean, all these old rock, you know, the older rockers, they had records where it was like a lot of dynamics. You know, you had mid-tempo songs and rockers, and then fast songs, and also a ballad on every rock record, you know, and I like that, you know, because I have a lot of different emotions, and songs are emotions, you know. I can't just go at one speed all the time. You
right.
know? So I love melody. I love a good ballad. It, you know, I always like those. You know, Aerosmith had a lot of them.
Oh,
you know,
big time.
Guns N' Roses. I mean, it just goes down the list. So The Way, I come up with a lot of melodies in the shower for some reason. You know, I think a lot of people do too. I've read, and I always keep my phone outside the shower, and I came up with that melody for the verse and chorus, and I scattered it into my phone, and I was so fired up. I was so inspired. I just got dressed and I went down and started writing. I wrote all the lyrics and melodies to the whole song, just verse chorus. And I came into Stevie and I was like, dude, I got this song and I want it to be epic. I want it to like kind of start in one place and end like rocked out, you know, so, and I want some piano in it. And he goes, okay. So I stood there with Stevie and I sang the song, you know, what I had, just a cappella. And we found a key that was good with my voice on the piano. And then I kind of just give him general direction on like where I see it, you know, right. what I'm feeling.
Sure.
And he's like, okay. And then I leave because I trust him and we have really good songwriting language. And I've known Stevie since I was 19, you know. So I leave and he comes up with this whole musical composition, right? And he calls me up and he goes, hey, I got to tell you, I took this in the direction of like Buck Cherry's version of Hey Jude, you know, like the Beatles. And I was like, okay, that sounds cool. And he goes, come over and hear it. So I listened to it, and he had this incredible composition, and he had added a bridge music and the outro bit where it comes in after the guitar solo.
Right.
And I was like, this is so amazing. This is like better than what I was thinking,
sure.
You know, and just hit it out of the park. So then I just went home and finished the lyrics for the rest of the song, melodies to those little gaps, and that was it.
When you come up with a melody or something, is it just you kind of just humming it?
No, I mean, I come,
you just hear it in your head, just
I'll just scat it, and I'll just have like fucked up words, whatever,
right.
You know, it's just all about like getting the melody. So I'll scat something out, and I don't care what it is. I don't even care if I rhyme or whatever,
right?
But I know how the music's going. I'll just kind of be mumbling through
right.
it. And then I go down and then I define it, you know, with words, you know. So I'll listen to it and I'll go, okay, and I'll sit back and I'll go, what emotion is this evoking in me? You know, like, and then I find it somehow. It just happens. And then right. I just start, and then as soon as I get a spark, I just start writing and until it's done.
I could imagine probably even going back to the day when those guys asked you to come jam, you were probably the type of lead vocalist that come in there and, hey, you got a riff, let's write an original, and you can just start freestyling something. Find the pocket, find the melody, find easy. The harmony. Easy for you.
Easy.
Did you grow up with a lot of hip-hop music outside of punk rock, too?
Listen to a lot of hip-hop.
Think that helps?
Yeah, because time, it's all rhythmic. Yeah. You know, it's really rhythmic. And I listen to a lot of pop music, you know, because I go where the best songwriters are. I'm like, right. how do I want to write great songs? Well, write songs that, like, from songwriters, and the best songwriters are in pop music, you know, because they're writing songs around the clock, you know. But if you listen to the old school punk rock records, they all had big hooks because they weren't on major labels. So the thing that I loved about those records is they were brutally honest, right? There was no filter. They'd say whatever they was on their mind, but they had big chanting choruses and hooks so that they could attract an audience, because they were never going to get an audience otherwise, because they didn't have radio or anything else. Right. You know what I mean? All they had was their live shows. Right. So they had to have songs that people could remember, you know? So that's why I liked it. And so I grew up with that mentality. Like, you know, I want to be honest with my art, but I want it to be, you know, crafted in a way that a large group of people can relate to it, you know?
Yeah, I think you're super transparent in all your vocals. I think you open up a lot. I mean, because you do, like, even like in on the eighth song on the new Buck Cherry album, Hellbound, Wasting No More Time, going back to the marriage thing, one thing that grabbed me about this, because I love to read your lyrics, was I think I have this right. I know things have changed, so I need something to kill the pain. As I'm getting older, I recognize that everything's better when I compromise. Ain't thought to me to be a better person, because that's the truth. It is. Once you learn how to compromise and you, I think it just comes with age, you know, or listening to music and learning by somebody else. Because, you know, I kind of come from a background where I didn't have a dad. My mom couldn't catch me. There wasn't that person. Like, I had DJ Yella in here last week, and we were talking, and he even said the same thing in his book, that, like, you know, he had all this money from NWA, and he just blew it because there was nobody to show you right from wrong. And I kind of had that childhood. There was really nobody to show me right from wrong. And then, you know, you listen to an album like that, and there are things in there, like the War Paint album. There were a lot of lyrics, and we could sit here all day, and I could tell you, oh, this lyric meant this to me, yada, yada, yada. But, like, stuff like that, like, you know, you learn that things are better when you compromise, and probably more so in a marriage. And it's the truth.
Absolutely.
And it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I was going through a lot in my marriage through the whole COVID thing, because here I was always on the road, and now I'm home for days and days and days. So all of our stuff was right there, and we had to really go through it, you know, and it brought up a lot of stuff, you know, because just not dealing with it after, you know, through all the years, you know? So, totally relate to that. I totally relate to not having a father and having, you know, you're like, I was the same way, you know, I didn't have a father. I didn't have a father at home, and my mom worked all the time, you know, so she was a great mom, but, you know, I was a wild animal from a very early age. Right. I did everything very quickly at a young age, you know. Right. That's why I got sober so early. I was getting loaded at 13, you know. Yeah. So, everybody in my neighborhood, everybody's kids and everybody's parents partied in our neighborhood in Anaheim Hills, you know. So it wasn't like a big deal, you know.
Big. What year did you leave Anaheim Hills?
I went to junior high at El Rancho Junior High.
That's where my daughter went.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to junior high there. I got in a lot of trouble.
Did you go to Canyon?
No, I got in a lot of fights in junior high and got suspended a few times. And my mother didn't want me going to Canyon because that was all my friends were going there. So she tried to get a hold of me and my behavior and put me in a Lutheran high school for my freshman year.
Wow.
So I went to a Lutheran high school. I got in a fight there the first week of Lutheran high school. Okay, I got in a fight there, right? Me and this kid went at it, and And let me just tell you something. The kids at the private school partied harder than the public school kids.
I'm sure
you know what
they
I mean?
Did, yeah.
They did because they had money and they had all these, like, there's lots of drugs there that I had, you know. And so, anyways, so I got in a fight and some of the punishment was we had to get together, me and this guy that got in a fight, and we had to recite Bible verses together, you know, right. Together after school. Like, that was some of the punishment. I was like, are you kidding me? This is insane. And so that lasted 1 year, and then my mother moved us to Mission Viejo, and then I went to Tribeca Hills High, a public school, and finished out my high school there.
And how old were you when you started jamming again?
15.
15.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Hey, man, that, you know, it's funny because I always trip out on that, like, living up there. I go, like, man, I always tell, like, my kids and stuff. I go, you know Buck Cherry's from Anaheim Hills, right? And they always, like, they trip out there. What? I go, now go but tell her, hey, you know, Josh went to El Rancho. Go find an old yearbook. Hey, listen, Buck Cherry, Hellbound, 10th studio album, great, great record.
Ninth studio album.
Why do I say 10?
You said 8 coming in.
Why?
Because ninth.
You know what it is? I get real nervous around you.
It's all right.
Because, you know, I did so much homework on this record, and then I go, you know what? When he walks in, sometimes I just get so intimidated being around him. Anyway, listen.
That's funny.
This I'm going to get right. I'm going to get this right. Go see them live. Buck Cherry Live. Friday, September 24th, Canyon Club, Santa Clarita.
That's going to go off.
Saturday, September 25th, Canyon, Agora Hills. Sunday, September 26th, Canyon Club, Montclair. Then off to Arizona. I think you have a one-off in Arizona, and then I don't know, you got stuff going on after that.
Yeah, I think we're going to Canada and finishing out some states, and then we're going to the UK in November.
When you guys wrote this record, and probably most of the Buck Cherry records, what's real quick, like, what is the writing process like? Is it like, do you guys all get together, or do you guys send stuff through the phones, or, like, I know you say you play some guitar, so do you come up with riffs and introduce the riffs, or does the band get together then give you the music? Like, what's the process with Buck Cherry? I've always kind of wondered that.
We don't, you know, I don't like getting too many chefs in the kitchen because it gets really really hard to get something done, you know.
Right.
So Stevie and I really write well together, and we write fast, you know, and I know how to go in there with him and say, hey, this isn't working and this is not working, and you do this. And I know that he's going to understand my songwriting language and get back to me. And it's the same way with Marty, you know. I mean, we just have that language and it goes fast. So, you know, Stevie and I just wrote all the demos, and Stevie would program drums and do bass and everything.
Wow.
And then once we got songs kind of established, and then we would let the band would listen to the songs, you know, and they would chime in with their 2 cents. And then we would kind of just fine tune things after that. And then we would decide on songs, and then the band would start rehearsing the songs, and then we would lay it down.
Wow. That's a great process, because a lot of bands, you know, especially with the guy, you know, a front guy like you, would be like, you know, not like kind of almost like a Dave Grohl type thing where it's like my way or the highway type thing. This is how it's going to be. And that's what I've kind of always liked about Buck Cherry too. Like, even on one of your t-shirts, it's like on the back, it says a no tracks, you know, it's
no just, tracks, it, no triggers, right, no bullshit.
Right. Yeah. It's just straight up. And I think I haven't heard you talk about that on the Eddie Trunk show. Do you use in-ears still or no?
Oh yeah. I use in-ears. I would never not use in-ears.
Yeah.
They're like the singer's gift, you know? I mean, because you can dial in what you want in there, and you don't get ear fatigue.
Right.
You know, now I can be like right next to the drums and rock out, and I don't have any cymbals like crushing me, you know?
Yeah.
Take
you a long time to get used to that. Like, do you remember, like, in the newlywed stages of when was it kind of difficult for you?
I got thrown in the fire. My tour manager, I remember I got ear molded out on the road, and then I got them.
Cause sometimes I'll see you take one out on stage.
Right.
And it'll, and then
that,
you'll
that, yeah, that's only because there's water filling up in
my
ear.
Oh, is that why? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get like sweat in my ear and I can feel it, and I don't want it to shut down my ear.
Oh,
so I'll take it out.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And I'll dry out my ear real quick, like in the middle of a song, and then put it back in. And,
okay.
Yeah.
So back to,
there's little tricks.
You were thrown into the fire.
Anyways, I was thrown in the fire. I just gotten him. I'm on the road, and I'm like, and my tour manager was like, well, there's no time like the present. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, just, you know, you're going to have to just do it. And I was like, all right. And I put him in the first time I had them, I'm standing in front of an audience singing, and it was so weird because in ears you can hear so much of your voice that I wasn't used to it. So I was over singing, you know, I was like, I was sharp a lot on my notes, sometimes just over hitting the note because I could hear it so well. I wasn't having to push so hard. And pushing really hard is what screws up your voice. That's how you get vocal damage, you know? So I was like so grateful at that point. And then I started dialing them in, making them, you know, just every singer's got their own mix in their head that they like, you know, whether it's not a whole lot of guitars and more bass or they only, the less you put in, the better you're going to hear separation. The more stuff you add to your ears, you know, then it starts getting jumbled up.
The
you know?
Less instruments.
Less instruments. So I just
more
do,
you.
I do kick, snare, hat, and ride only. That's the only thing I have. I don't have any overhead cymbals in my cans or anything. Cause you get a, you can hear enough overheads through your vocal mic.
Right.
If you're running your vocal mic pretty hot.
Right.
And that's it. I have no effects on my voice cause I want it just raw and real and, little compression on my vocal. And then I just have, you know, a little bit guitars and bass, you know, guitar left and right, and then bass up the middle, and that's it.
Wow.
No backing vocals, nothing.
Yeah. Who mastered this album?
Marty Fredrickson.
So he did too.
No, he didn't master it. He mixed it. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know who mastered it. His one of his buddies. I can't tell you the exact name of the guy.
Yeah. Hey, the sixth song, Here I Come, another just in your face rock song, super, super hooky. The lead in that, this song, I just really love the lead. Was that Billy Rowe? Or was that
you know
Stevie?
What? I wish I could tell you. You know, you're going to have
anyway,
to ask Stevie.
It's okay. Great, great song. love it. Real quick, I'm not going to keep you much longer. And if you're just tuning in, my guest today is Josh Todd from Buck Cherry. He's not here for his health. He's here to talk about Hellbound, new Buck Cherry record out now. Go out and get it. Also catch them Friday, September 24th, Canyon Club, Santa Clarita. Saturday, September 25th, the Canyon in Agoura Hills, and Sunday, September 26th, Canyon Club in Montclair, then off to Arizona for a one-off, and get on buckcherry.com or Buck Cherry's Instagram for all other tour dates or to follow Josh. I was wondering if you could kind of just take me back. I don't want to deviate too far because I know you're here for the new album, Hellbound, but I haven't got a chance to talk to you in a long time. And the War Paint record, the song, radio song, where did that come from? Was that another Harmony in the Shower?
I gotta think. I'd be taking
a lot of showers if I was you, dude. If that's where your ideas are coming from.
I actually think it was. I can't remember because it's been a minute. But the song is about, you know, when we were kids, the radio kind of marked our summer times, right? That's how we knew who we were dating, the parties we went to, you know, all the stuff that we were doing, you know, I can remember the hit songs back then and go, oh, I remember that Phil Collins song or you know, like Sue Studio, you know, that song.
Yeah, the
Studio.
Phil Collins.
Yeah, and I remember,
that was great.
I'm like, I remember exactly that was when I was taking the bus to 32nd Street all the time because I'd hear that song all the time and stuff like that, you know, and it was so important, you know, music back then, you know, it just... And it's still important. I'm sure that kids these days, they'll have their streaming playlists or whatever, however they get music. And there'll be certain songs that kind of mark their summer times because that's when music means the most to us. And then we get out of high school and then it all becomes about adulting, you know, and it doesn't become this theme of your life anymore, you know. So I wanted to capture that in song.
That's a banger. That's a great, great song. I absolutely just love it. How do you feel about the industry today, like with the digital downloading and, you know, the YouTubes and the, you know, Facebooks and Instagrams? Because, I mean, you come from an era where there was none of that. I mean, you had to bust your ass to put yourself and put Buck Cherry on the map because there was no smartphones and stuff when Buck Cherry started out. There was no Instagrams. It was playing the backyard parties and getting the kegs and putting the flyers on the telephone poles and starting, you know, paying the $3 to come in to see a band. I mean, the world, in my opinion, was actually kind of a better place back then. But how do you feel about music? I mean, do you think I mean, the saying, you know, the saying that it's always said that, you know, the good thing about technology is everybody could put music out. The bad thing is that everybody could put music out.
Exactly. It,
you know, like, so what is your, like, thinking? If that's a generic question, I apologize. But it's like, I love to sit and talk with guys like you that come from that era. You busted your ass to get where you are now, where a lot of artists don't have to do that.
You know, it's,
and not to say they're going to get the success that you've gotten, because everybody's got a band, but nobody's got a song. You know, right, what I mean? And that's right, kind of where I'm at now. But like, back to my original question, but it's like, how do you feel about it now with all of this? Just, hey, I'll put a flyer on Instagram and, you know, and this guy's going to like my band because we got 3,000 followers and we get 20, you know, 1,000 likes every time we post something, but there's really nothing there.
Yeah, that. All that follower stuff is over now. I mean, that was like something that happened at the beginning of all of it, but like, it's diluted everything, the internet, you know, not just music. I think I heard Kevin Hart talking on Howard Stern not too long ago, how eventually there's going to be no celebrities, because there's just not going to be. Because,
I heard that, dude.
Because, you know, everybody has these little pocket of interests, right? And
right,
the YouTube stars, and then, you know, there'll be a little movement over here with this person and that person, and oh my God, this went viral, and it's somebody you don't even know who they are.
Right.
You don't know who anybody is anymore.
Exactly.
Unless you're tuned into it and it's something you're interested in, you don't know who anybody is. Nobody knows when anybody's records are dropping. Nobody. Nope. Not unless you're like a fan and you follow somebody. That's the only way you know.
Right.
You know, it's bizarre. You know, back when this all started, I remember, because I have to go into promotional meetings and whenever we're about to launch a record, and it's like, okay, you got 20 seconds of somebody's attention, you know? Okay. So we got to base everything around the 20 seconds. I go, really? 20 seconds. Yeah. 20 seconds to get somebody's attention. Now it's less than 7 seconds, you know? So you have less than 7 seconds to get somebody to look at you, and just to look at it like a sample of something, you know? It's really challenging now, and I feel so bad for like new artists, you mm-hmm. know, new rock bands. I mean, right, it's like, God, it must be just so brutal to like start a touring career, because touring is so expensive, you know. So, yeah, you know, in order to do that, you really got to have hit songs like fueling it, or you can't really get out of the van, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And the van is brutal after like a few months, even yeah, if you're a young person, you know? So, I don't know, man. I'm grateful for, you know, the time I came up and how
yeah,
we established,
yeah, for sure,
because we have an established brand and we can go out there and do it. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, I would hate to be doing it now. I probably wouldn't, because right, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's brutal.
Yeah.
You know,
I saw a post or something a while back that said like MTV celebrated 40 year anniversary and thank you for the 14 years of music, you know.
Exactly.
And it's true. It's like, you know, now MTV's talking about, oh, we're bringing Cribs back. I'm like, who gives a shit? Why don't you bring videos back?
I haven't watched MTV for so long.
There's nothing to watch, dude. Yeah. It's fucking pointless. There's absolutely nothing to watch.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely crazy. Like I was tripping out, like, you know, like on the Music Plus days and the Warehouse days and Licorice Pizza, and when you could go in and buy a single, you know, and it was just really hard to get music. You had to have a record label to actually put a record out, you know, and it's
yeah,
just, it's amazing now, just the way it's all transpired. And that's one thing that, you know, Buck Cherry has just really always kept it real, in my opinion. And I come from a big metal background, classical background. I actually play in a punk rock band and talk about touring.
Cool.
And it's very, very difficult. I mean, we've been very fortunate. We've been out there with the Pennywises and the Rancids, and we've played with some of the big dogs, you know. We've been a great support band, and at my age, it's hard sometimes to do it. And there's a little
bit
of, there's a budget. You know, we have a couple songs on Sirius XM, and, you know, we did okay. But, you know, it is at this point, if you don't have the success already, it's kind of like a young man's game, right? If like Buck Cherry's so established, you're so, you know, you're so loved everywhere and so just dialed in, that it makes sense. But it really is difficult for a lot of people coming up today. And, you know, it's just, there's so much shit out there. Like, I owned a rehearsal studio in Huntington Beach for a little while, and my wife did the book. She's like, fuck, there are so many bands.
Yep.
There are so many bands.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, but nobody's got a song.
Yeah,
you know,
there's so many bands, but there's not a lot of
talent.
No, there's just not a lot of people that are super unique and like unforgettable, you know what I mean? And that's the thing, you know, that's what you got to be in order to cut through, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, dude, I really appreciate you coming down. It really means a lot to me. One thing that's always been rad about you is, you know, you've always been super grounded, super just really rad and easy to talk to. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for giving me and us just great, you know, rock music and everything you do. Thanks for keeping it going. Thanks just for everything. I think you're an amazing guy. I wish you just much more success. You know, good health to you and your family.
Thanks, man. You as well.
It's super rad to see you. And I know sometimes there's so many people doing radio shows now. You don't know if you're walking into a garage to do a cheesy podcast somewhere, whatever. But I really tell you, dude, I really try to do my homework with you, but I get a little nervous around you. So maybe the next time, you know, I'll figure out what studio.
This is a really, really nice place to do a radio interview. So
it's pretty rad, right? And you're not too far from here.
Those artists that are coming here. It's it's nice.
All right, Buck Cherry, Hellbound, go out and get it.
Let's go.
Great album, super, super rad. Again, Friday, September 24th, Canyon Club, Santa Clarita. Saturday, September 26th, Canyon, Agora Hills. And then Sunday, September 26th, Montclair. I'll be at that one in Montclair. So that'll probably be the next time I see you. Josh, thanks for coming down, dude.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
All right,
bro.
You're listening to The Music Show with Greg Dixon, only on LA Talk Radio.